Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Last week we began from reading from the Gospel of Matthew, hearing the call of those first disciples of Jesus. And this week, and continuing to the next two Sundays before Lent, we hear what Jesus does with his new disciples. He went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. First, Jesus goes up the mountain. Well, I'm sure Jesus and his disciples enjoyed a good hike. He's doing more than that. In the Bible, mountains are places of encounter with God. In particular, we can think of Moses on top of Mount Sinai, receiving the Ten Commandments. It was there that Moses brought down God's law written on tablets of stone to the Israelites. So when Jesus climbs this mountain, he does so to reveal God's law to his people. However, he doesn't come with tablets of stone. Rather, he comes to write God's law on the tablets of our hearts. And how does Jesus do this? On top of the mountain, he first takes the posture of a Jewish rabbi speaking with authority by sitting down. And then he begins to teach them, starting with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are the meek. And so on. And calling people with these characteristics blessed, Jesus is giving us the recipe to true happiness, the true blessedness. And at first glance, it doesn't seem that way. We usually don't associate being poor, meek, hungry, thirsty, and persecuted with being happy. But there's more. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Only when we recognize and admit our poverty in spirit can we receive the kingdom of heaven. And while every one of us is poor in spirit before God's infinite richness, it's not always an easy thing to admit and to acknowledge that we don't have it all together. We can even be saddened by our weakness and by our poverty. And then comes the second beatitude. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. When we recognize our poverty of spirit before God, he comes to comfort us, to strengthen us. And in each of the eight beatitudes, there's that theme of being empty and then being filled. So Jesus is teaching us that to be truly happy, we first need to empty ourselves. And we can be tempted to fill ourselves with things that might feel good in the moment, but ultimately don't satisfy us. So living the Beatitudes first means being empty, acknowledging that however good created things are, they can't fill us. But we come empty before the Lord so that He can fill us. And Jesus has come to fill us with His Holy Spirit. In his second letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul contrast the old law given by Moses with the new law given by Jesus Christ, saying that God now writes not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts, and that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In this new law, which fulfills the old law, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to live it out. When St. Paul makes that explicit, right, it's implied here in the Beatitudes. The Holy Spirit is the comforter who comforts those who mourn. The Holy Spirit is the inheritance of the meek. The Holy Spirit is the one who satisfies those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And it's the Holy Spirit poured into our hearts that allows us to call God Abba, Father, that we may be called children of God. Only in the Holy Spirit do we find true blessedness, true joy, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't give this gift of the Holy Spirit only to the 12 disciples at his feet during the Sermon of the Mount. And he has given this Spirit to you and to me. Through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, we have been filled with the Spirit of the living God. God has given us the power to live the Beatitudes, to be merciful, to be clean of heart, to be a peacemaker. And it starts right where God has you today. Whether you're living with your family or living alone, the Holy Spirit fills you up, so that then his love can overflow to those around you. In the first and second readings that we had today, they remind us that in order to be filled, we need to first be emptied. That's in that spirit of true humility, recognizing our poverty of spirit, that we can be filled with the riches of the kingdom of God. A kingdom that is now present, but not yet fully manifested. So today, may we prepare for the coming of that kingdom by opening our hearts to the coming of the Holy Spirit now, that he may fill us once again with divine love. And we may joyfully imitate the one who first emptied himself on the cross out of love for us and who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.